Welcome to the GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating topics in your EdExcel specification, development. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need: the core concepts, the key studies, exam tips, and a quick-fire quiz at the end. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Development in psychology is all about how we change mentally, cognitively, and neurologically, from birth through to adulthood. For your EdExcel GCSE, this topic sits in Topic 1 of Paper 1, and it carries a significant chunk of marks. You need to know about early brain development, Piaget's theory of cognitive development, and the application of learning theories by Carol Dweck and Daniel Willingham. You also need to be able to evaluate two key studies, Piaget and Inhelder's Three Mountains Task and Gunderson and colleagues' 2013 study on parental praise. Let's work through each of these in turn. Let's start with the brain. The brain develops rapidly in early childhood, and EdExcel wants you to know the three main regions: the forebrain, the midbrain, and the hindbrain. The forebrain is the largest and most complex region. It includes the cerebrum, which handles higher-order thinking, memory, language, and emotion. When you're solving a maths problem, recalling a memory, or feeling happy or sad, that's your forebrain at work. The forebrain also contains the thalamus, which acts as a relay station for sensory information, and the hypothalamus, which regulates basic drives like hunger, thirst, and body temperature. The midbrain sits in the middle, as you'd expect from the name, and acts as a relay center between the forebrain and hindbrain. It's involved in visual and auditory reflexes. So when you automatically turn your head towards a loud noise, that's your midbrain doing its job. Now, the hindbrain is where it gets really important for your exam, because this is where two structures that candidates frequently confuse are located: the cerebellum and the medulla. The cerebellum, think cerebellum coordination, is responsible for motor skills, balance, and coordination. It fine-tunes your movements. When you ride a bike or catch a ball, your cerebellum is working hard. Importantly, the cerebellum is involved in learned motor skills, which links beautifully to Willingham's theory later on. The medulla, sometimes called the medulla oblongata, controls autonomic functions. These are the things your body does automatically without you thinking about them: breathing, heart rate, blood pressure, swallowing. The medulla keeps you alive. A key exam tip here: candidates often mix up the cerebellum and the medulla. Remember, cerebellum equals coordination and motor skills. Medulla equals automatic life-sustaining functions. They are completely different. Now let's move on to Jean Piaget and his theory of cognitive development. Piaget was a Swiss psychologist who proposed that children develop cognitively through four distinct universal stages. He believed that children are not just small adults, they think in qualitatively different ways at different ages. Before we get to the stages, you need to understand Piaget's key concepts: schemas, assimilation, and accommodation. A schema is a mental framework or category that helps us organize and interpret information. For example, a young child might have a schema for dog: four legs, fur, barks. When they encounter a new dog, they fit it into that existing schema. This process is called assimilation, incorporating new information into an existing schema without changing it. But what happens when the child encounters a cat? Four legs, fur, but it meows, not barks. The existing dog schema doesn't quite fit, so the child has to modify their schema or create a new one. This process is called accommodation, changing or creating a schema to fit new information. This is a really common source of confusion in the exam. Remember, assimilation is fitting new info into an existing schema. Accommodation is changing the schema to fit the new info. Now, the four stages. Stage one is the sensorimotor stage, from birth to around 2 years. Infants learn through their senses and motor actions: touching, tasting, looking. The key achievement of this stage is object permanence, the understanding that objects continue to exist even when they can't be seen. Before object permanence develops, if you hide a toy under a blanket, the baby acts as if it has ceased to exist. Stage two is the pre-operational stage, from roughly 2 to 7 years. Children develop language and symbolic thinking. They can use words and images to represent objects. However, this stage is characterized by egocentrism, the inability to see the world from another person's perspective. This is demonstrated by Piaget and Inhelder's famous Three Mountains Task, which I'll come back to in a moment. Stage 3 is the concrete operational stage from 7 to 11 years. Children can now think logically, but only about concrete, tangible things. A key achievement here is conservation, the understanding that quantity remains the same even when appearance changes. For example, if you pour water from a short, wide glass into a tall, thin glass, a pre-operational child will say there's more water in the tall glass. A child in the concrete operational stage understands that the amount hasn't changed. Stage 4 is the formal operational stage from 11 years onwards. Adolescents can now think abstractly and hypothetically. They can reason about possibilities, not just concrete realities. This is the stage at which scientific and mathematical reasoning fully develops. Now, the Three Mountains task. Piaget and Enhelder conducted this classic study to demonstrate egocentrism in pre-operational children. They placed children in front of a model of three mountains of different heights, each with a distinctive feature: a cross, snow, and a house. The child walked around the model to familiarize themselves with it, then sat on one side. A doll was placed on the other side of the model. The child was shown photographs taken from different viewpoints and asked to select the photograph that showed what the doll could see. The finding was that children in the pre-operational stage consistently selected the photograph showing their own view, not the doll's view. Piaget and Enhelder concluded that these children were egocentric. They could not mentally represent the perspective of another person. For evaluation, you need to be specific. A strength of this study is that it used a standardized procedure, which means it can be replicated, supporting the reliability of the findings. However, a key criticism is that the task may lack ecological validity. It used an artificial model of mountains, which is not a natural scenario for children. Martin Hughes' policeman doll study in 1975 found that when the task was made more meaningful and realistic, using a naughty boy hiding from a policeman, even 3 and 4-year-old children could take another's perspective. This suggests Piaget may have underestimated children's abilities due to the artificial nature of his tasks. Now let's look at Carol Dweck's mindset theory. Dweck, a psychologist at Stanford University, proposed that people hold one of 2 fundamental beliefs about intelligence and ability. Those with a fixed mindset believe that intelligence is innate and unchangeable. You either have it or you don't. Those with a growth mindset believe that intelligence and ability can be developed through effort, learning, and persistence. Dweck's research showed that mindset has profound effects on motivation, resilience, and achievement. Students with a growth mindset embrace challenges, persist in the face of setbacks, and see effort as the path to mastery. Students with a fixed mindset avoid challenges, give up easily, and see effort as a sign of inadequacy. This links directly to the Gunderson et al. Study from 2013, which is a key study you must know in detail. Gunderson and colleagues conducted a longitudinal observational study of 53 children and their parents. They visited the families at home when the children were aged 1, 2, and 3 years old, and recorded naturally occurring interactions between parents and children. They then followed up when the children were aged 7 and 8, assessing their mindset and attitude towards challenges. The key finding was about the type of praise parents gave. Process praise. Praise that focuses on effort, strategy, and the process of learning, such as, "You worked really hard on that," or "You tried a great strategy," was associated with a growth mindset at age 7 to 8. Person praise. Praise that focuses on the child's inherent traits, such as "you're so clever" or "you're so talented," was associated with a fixed mindset. Crucially, the study found that fathers gave significantly more process praise than mothers. Children who received more process praise between ages 1 and 3 were more likely to have a growth mindset and believe that effort leads to success 5 years later. For evaluation, you need to address specific methodological points. A strength is that the study used a naturalistic observation in the children's own homes, which gives it high ecological validity. The behavior observed was natural, not artificially induced in a laboratory. However, a weakness is that the study may have lacked informed consent from the children, who were too young to consent. There are also ethical concerns about the lack of debriefing in a longitudinal observation. Families may not have been fully aware of what was being measured over the years. Finally, let's look at Daniel Willingham's theory of learning and development. Willingham, a cognitive scientist, argues that development is not strictly stage-based as Piaget proposed. Instead, Willingham suggests that cognitive development is more continuous and domain-specific. Children can show sophisticated reasoning in areas where they have relevant knowledge and experience, even at young ages. This directly contrasts with Piaget's universal stages. For your exam, when evaluating Piaget, you can use Willingham as a counter-argument. Willingham's theory suggests that Piaget's stages may oversimplify development by ignoring the role of knowledge and experience. Now, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, the command words. When you see describe, you need to give two developed features with supporting information. Don't just list, explain. When you see explain, you need to give reasons or causes, using the scenario provided. This is crucial. For AO2, explain questions that include a scenario. You must explicitly name the person or character in the scenario to access the application marks. If the question says, explain how Piaget's theory applies to Jamie's behavior, you must write, Jamie is in the pre-operational stage because, not just a generic description of the stage. For evaluation questions, avoid generic points. Do not write, the study is old, that earns no marks. Instead, write specific methodological critiques. The Three Mountains task lacks ecological validity because it used an artificial model rather than a real-world scenario, which may not reflect children's natural abilities. That's the kind of specificity that earns marks. For 9-mark extended response questions, you must include a conclusion to reach the top band. Your conclusion should synthesize your argument. Don't just repeat your points, but make a judgment. Allocate roughly 1 minute per mark, so a 9-mark question should take about 9 minutes. Plan for 2 minutes, write for 7. A key mark scheme tip. When distinguishing between the cerebellum and the medulla, candidates must state both the structure and its specific function. Writing the cerebellum controls movement is better than just the cerebellum is in the brain, but the best answers will say the cerebellum coordinates fine motor skills and balance, such as riding a bike. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing assimilation and accommodation. Remember, assimilation is fitting new information into an existing schema. Accommodation is changing the schema. Number 2. Describing the Three Mountains task procedure without linking it to egocentrism. The procedure is only worth marks if you connect it to the concept it demonstrates. Number 3. Confusing the cerebellum and the medulla. Cerebellum equals coordination. Medulla equals automatic functions. Number 4. Giving generic evaluation points. Always be specific, name the methodological issue, explain why it's a problem, and state the impact on the study's conclusions. Now it's time for your quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 5 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the term for incorporating new information into an existing schema? The answer is assimilation. Question 2. In which Piaget stage does egocentrism occur? The answer is the pre-operational stage, ages 2 to 7. Question 3. What does the medulla control? The answer is autonomic functions such as breathing and heart rate. Question 4. What type of praise did Gunderson et al. Find was associated with a growth mindset? The answer is process praise. Praise focused on effort and strategy. Question 5. What is the key contrast between Piaget and Willingham? Piaget proposed universal stages. Willingham argued development is continuous and domain-specific, not strictly stage-based. Question 6. What is the name of the task used by Piaget and Inhelder to demonstrate egocentrism? The Three Mountains task. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the essentials. The brain has 3 regions. Forebrain for thinking and emotion, midbrain for reflexes and relay, hindbrain containing the cerebellum for motor coordination, and the medulla for autonomic functions. Piaget proposed 4 stages of cognitive development: sensory motor, pre-operational, concrete operational, and formal operational. Key concepts are schemas, assimilation, and accommodation. The Three Mountains task demonstrated egocentrism in pre-operational children. Dweck's mindset theory distinguishes between fixed and growth mindsets. Gunderson et al. 2013 found that process praise in early childhood predicts a growth mindset at age 7 to 8. Willingham challenges Piaget by arguing development is continuous and knowledge-dependent, not strictly stage-based. In the exam, always be specific, always name the person in scenario questions, always link evaluation points to methodology, and always include a conclusion in extended responses. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. Keep working hard because, as Dweck would say, effort is everything.